chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14. This is one of the most confusing passages in the Bible. But it's also a passage that's going to give us much clarity on how we function. Because this, if all of us tell the truth, we've been here. Especially in your early walk as a Christian, you've been here. I suspect that most of us has either gotten past this point or on our way through this transition. And tonight, if we're going to explain, I'm going to explain to you why. Tonight, we're going to talk about the will. And the will is the most important aspect of your soul, period. The most important. And so the will is the actual part of the mind or part of the soul that causes you to make decisions. All right. So when we begin to read this, you're going to see Paul having this inner war. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is it no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, meaning in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's Paul talking and giving us and reading everybody mail. Watch what he says. Let me get back there. Watch what he said. He said, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Watch this. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So in other words, he's saying, I know they got some good in me. I know I want to do good, but I can't find the power. All right, watch this now, watch this. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, meaning my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of God. Now, a lot of people stopped there and figured that was the end. But because the Bible is written in chapters, that don't mean that's how Paul wrote the letters. You got me? So now we go to Romans, the 8th chapter, the first verse, which is going to answer the last verse of the 7th chapter. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Watch this. Who walk not after the flesh, but what? Watch this, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what Paul is saying, that without the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, resting on the inside of you, your will always be contaminated. See, so now watch this. Not only that, when the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can be living on the inside of you, but the question is, are you letting them affect the inside of you? Yeah. See, there's a difference. See, because that's why you have Christians who have legitimately been born again, but they still lead carnal lives. Because they're not letting the Spirit of life in Christ, that was in Christ Jesus, that's on the inside of them, cause them to have a change of will. Go to Galatians 3:13 for me. Galatians 3:13. Watch this. See, what we thought Paul was trying to give us an excuse. Paul was not giving us an excuse. Paul was separating why this happens. Paul was giving us, let us know why this happened, and it does not have to happen to you. But you're going to have to make the choice for it not to happen to you. Watch this. If you make the choice for it not to happen to you, then God will empower you to do it. Galatians 3:13. It says, watch this. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, right? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, what? Might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has what? Redeemed. Redeemed means put back form position. All right? Put us in a place that we were already supposed to be. All right? So the question is, we all know what place that's supposed to be. We Bible students, we know what place that is. It's where Adam and Eve was before they decided to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So that means when Adam and Eve partook of the tree, that they put mankind under a curse, right? Notice what Galatians 3:13 is not saying. Galatians 3:13 is not saying that we've been excused from the consequences of sin.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not saying we're excused from the consequences of sin. It's saying we've redeemed from the curse of the law, which is sin. See, I'm dealing with the will, all right? Dealing with the will. Paul said, I want to do what's right, but then I don't do what's right. Right? And then he said, my mind is warring with my flesh. I'm going back and forth with this thing. I want to do right, but I ain't doing right, and the vice versa. You see? Because it ball backs, watch this. Ain't nothing going to overpower you to do right.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Ain't nothing going to overpower you to do right.
Right.
You got what I'm saying? But what Paul was also saying, Galatians 3:13, that we've been redeemed from the, from, we've been redeemed from the captivity of sin. Since we were born captive to sin because of Adam and Eve. There was a curse. Watch this. What's the difference between a curse and a consequence? A curse is something no matter what you do, it's going to happen to you. That's why we can't live good. That's why, I don't care how good you live, until you accept Jesus Christ your Savior, none of that means nothing. Because you're under a curse. But a consequence comes as a result of your decisions. See, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, if you still want to play around with the curse, it's your choice. This is why I got a problem with the grace message. This is exactly why I got a reason why I got a problem with it. See, they try to take away the consequences of sin. Jesus didn't die and take the consequences of sin away. He took away the curse. So you don't have to sin. But you can still choose to sin. This is why the will is so important. Because the will is the thing that makes a decision. Now, Christ, watch this. There's one key thing that you must understand when Christ's redemption plan, what it did. If you don't know anything else, we got people that have studied the redemption plan. Christ redeemed us from second death. We don't have to be eternally separated from God. And I know he done redeemed us from poverty. We don't have to be broke no more. And he redeemed us from sickness and disease. He got the 30-something stripes on his back to represent every disease that ever existed in mankind. They sold his garment. And, you got all these dissertations and stuff. But it's very simple. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, put us back in a former position. What former position? The former position where we have a right to spend time with God whenever we want.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's that simple. It ain't more complicated than that. It ain't no more complicated. Now why? Watch this now. Now watch this. Why? Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Why? Why did Christ redeem us and put us back in the position that Adam and Eve was in? Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Watch this. Verse 28. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that creepeth, that moveth upon the earth. All right, you see that, right? Adam and Eve were given dominion over everything, okay? But the problem is they didn't know how to use that dominion. So they had to spend time with God. Right. So in spending time with God, they would learn how to make the right decisions. They would learn how to avoid the ignorant decisions. Now watch this. God always intended, we talked about this before, but this is very key now. God always intended them to face evil. He always intended them to face evil. Because that was what the darkness was. He had planned on it. But he wanted them to go out equipped. With the right mindset. They already had the power. They already had dominion. So this is why in the third chapter, when Adam and Eve ate off the tree, God came looking for them. Because before, God didn't have to come looking for them. Because they were pursuing him. Christ has redeemed us. So the curse of the law, watch this, what would the curse of the law do? The curse of the law puts us in a position to where we don't want to pursue God. But we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So now I can decide to pursue God. See, that's what Paul was saying is, I want to pursue God, but my body don't want to pursue God. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Is this making sense? So watch this. That has to do with my will, because my will makes decisions. My will pulls from my imagination. It pulls from my emotions. It pulls from my memory. It pulls from all the other four aspects to pull all that information together and make a decision. So if the other aspects of my soul is not properly trained, then my will is going to have trouble making decisions. Now, nevertheless, now your soul can make it, your will can make a decision without the input of the other. That's how every last one of y'all got born again. Because you can't sit there and tell me that before you got born again, that your memory was about God, that your intellect, that your emotions, that your imagination. So your will had to just stand up and say, no, we're going to accept Christ as our Savior. So your mind, your will can operate on its own, but it doesn't have to. Are you seeing this? So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, Christ has redeemed us from not being able to use our will for his benefit. See, so this is not something, this is something that does not happen overnight. This is something that you, see, it's no, once again, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Redeemed means put back in our former position, right? The same position that Adam and Eve was in. What position they were in? They were in a position where they can talk to God at any time. Anytime they didn't understand something, they can go talk to God. Right? So meanwhile, while they're talking to God, God is important himself into them. Right? Because we are already made in his image. So just because we're made in his image don't know we know how to use ourselves properly.
Right, right.
So we have to find out from old saying, we have to find out for the creation, from the creator, how to operate the creation, right? So if I'm put back in a former position, that means that I now have the same access to God that Adam and Eve had. Now, why do I have that same access? I have that same access so I can let God shape me and mold me. Are y'all seeing this? Shape me and mold me so that I can, my will can properly operate. So therefore, you know, there are certain sins you just can't get me to do. It's just certain things you just ain't gonna get me to do. Joseph said it perfectly. Joseph said, I can't do this against God. What his will was being trained. You see? So now this is why Paul comes, very familiar scripture. We've been there over and over, Romans 12 chapter. That's why Paul said that you have to renew your mind. Be ye not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to recognize, prove this good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Are you seeing this? So it should be easier and easier and easier to live for God the more you stay connected to him. This is why you can't go a space of time without spending time with God, because then you start to get just like Adam and Eve. He got to come looking for you. See, if God got to come looking for you, you're already in trouble. You know, I need thee every day, every hour, every second. Oh, how I need thee. Are you seeing this? This is how you strengthen your will. This is how you strengthen your will to strengthen your will to live for him. See, now, watch this. Just because you've been redeemed don't mean you're going to act redeemed. You know, I need to use this example, but one of the greatest examples is, and it's so horrible that our country has no solution for our prisons. You know, if they go into prison and stay any length of time, their will is going to get shaped. So when they come out, even though they free, what's the word? Recidivism? That's it? Recidivism, I think it is, where they return. Recidivism, I think it is, yeah, when they return. They return to jail because of the will. It's been trained. Am I making sense? So watch this. If I don't let God mold me, then I'm going to return to the curse. If I don't let God mold me and shape me, then see, here's the issue with, watch this. We all may know somebody or been acquainted with somebody who's been on drugs. The problem, you know, the problem with drugs is that they alter the mind. It affects the mind. So because it affects the mind, it makes it harder to make decisions. So now you not only got the curse of sin, but you got drugs altering your mind so it jumbles up the sin even more. That's where addiction comes from. See, that's why it's this is, once again, Christians, you know, carnal Christians, will sometimes look for excuses to do things. They look for excuses to do things. This is why people ask me, do you drink? No, I don't drink. Why you drink? Because you're a Christian? No. Not because of that. I don't drink because I like to be in control. I don't want to be getting up in the morning asking forgiveness for stuff I ain't know I did. That's why I don't drink. Because you can't find no script in the Bible says sin. You're going to look for it. You ain't going to find none. You ain't going to find none. So now they say, oh, there's not in the Bible. I can do it. So now they didn't find a little excuse. But what they're not understanding is, watch this. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We hadn't been redeemed from the consequences. That's why Satan attacks the mind. Because if he can get you to get under the curse voluntarily, because of your decision, if I can get you under the curse voluntarily, then I got control over you. You're seeing this. So the will, the aspect of your mind, the will, is the most powerful aspect of the soul. See? The most powerful. So you have to equip the mind, equip the will. You have to equip it to make the right decisions. You have to equip it. God is not going to equip it. You're going to have to equip it. What I mean by equip it? That means you're going to spend time with him. You have to choose. Now, I'm telling you, man, your flesh. Man, listen, sometimes you just got to ball up and tell that flesh, shut up. I'm going to sit down and meditate this word of God, whether you like it or not. I'm going to pray these 15 minutes. I'm going to spend time with God, whether you like it or not. I'm going to raise my hand and praise God for these next 10 minutes, whether you like it or not, flesh. Put your hands in the air. Are you seeing this? Christ has redeemed us. Christ has given us that right. Christ has given us that right that we can boldly come into the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy in a time of need. Christ paid for that. We just got to realize that we can access it and that we have an advantage. We have an advantage that others don't have. We had an advantage. You had an advantage that some carnal Christians will never have. They don't know what's happening to them. And oh, get born again, and man, they don't spend time in the Word. They don't spend time with God praying. And you profess to be a Christian, Satan is about to run amok on you. I don't know why I keep doing it. Now you sound like Paul in the seventh chapter. Man, I know I ain't supposed to be doing it, but man, I just can't help myself. You can't help yourself because your will is weak. See, being saved does not neglect you from personal responsibility. Being born again does not alleviate you from making decisions. It empowers you. Just because you're born again, just because you're born again, stuff ain't going to stop happening.
That's right.
Right. See, it's not some Holy Spirit, watch this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He ain't coming and take you over. You about to walk straight into sin. He ain't about to come and slap you and shake you around and throw you on the ground. Say, don't go that way. He's not gonna do that. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, hey, you know you need to be doing this, right? You know you need to be doing it, right? He's going to put you in a conviction. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me find it. Hold on, man. Let me find it. Let's see. Yeah, 1 Timothy 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy, warning Timothy about the last days. But Paul says something in the second verse that gives me an indication that you can go so far, so long, to where your will is so jacked up. Watch this. Let's start at verse 1 so you can get the whole context. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, verse 1, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Watch this, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Watch this, having their what? Conscience seared with a hot iron. Other words, that's the will. They're not able to make the right decision because they have done it so long, so many times, to where they can't even feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost no more. That's a dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be in a position to where you can't even feel the conviction or receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore. That's what Satan is trying to get the children of God, to have a seared conscience. That's what this grace, that hyper grace, that's what's going to happen. They're going to have seared conscience. Now watch this. If I have a seared conscience to the conviction of the Holy Ghost, why in the world you think you're going to have a conscience to hear the voice of God? Wow. All right, so now this is why holiness is important. Yes, sir. Because holiness allows you to hear the voice of God. God is holy. Right? So in order for us to be connected to God, we're going to have to be holy. Are you seeing this? So if I can't hear the conviction of the Holy Ghost, I'm sure not going to be able to have the leading of the Holy Ghost. All right? Got me? So is it possible that these people that we see, that we think operating in the anointing? Notice what I said. You think they're operating in the anointing. They don't know there's familiar spirits, right? We think they operate in anointing, but because of sin, some of them having a seared conscience, it's impossible. It is impossible. If you can't hear the conviction of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible to hear the leading of the Holy Ghost. See, your will is important. You got to protect your will. That's why 1 John 1 and 9 is important. I ain't linging. Lord, as soon as that conviction coming, I've done something. Lord, I talked to somebody wrong. Lord, look, forgive me. Search me, oh God. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, oh God. Are you seeing that? The will is the aspect. Watch this. The ultimate goal we're trying to get to, the ultimate goal you're trying to get to with your will is that your will becomes synonymous with God. Synonymous with God's will. What God want, I want. That's why Matthew, the sixth chapter, is so important. Jesus was trying to tell him. In the sixth chapter, he said, pray after this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, your kingdom come. What? Your will be done. Right? Your what? Your will. That means if I want his will to be done, that means that my will got to be aligned with his will. Yes, sir. I didn't realize it, but go to Philippians 2 and 5. Y'all heard this last week, but I need to make sure you understand how important this is. How important this is, what I'm about to tell you. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Watch this. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Right? Even the death of the cross. It's two deaths. Two deaths. You got to see this. Christ died a death of self first. You cannot ever walk completely in the will of God until you die to yourself first. What it means to die to yourself? It means that what I thought I wanted, I got to let it be. If it needs to be, some adjustments need to be made. If God makes some adjustments to what I thought I want, let the adjustments be made. See, because a lot of times, watch this. A lot of times we take this side of the cross as permission to do what we want. I'm going to use my faith to get this done. I'm going to speak this into existence. Listen, you ain't going to speak nothing into existence that God hadn't ordained. Yes, you've been given dominion. Officially, yeah, you've been given that dominion, but trust me, you ain't speaking nothing into existence that God has not ordained. That's right. That's right. That's so save yourself some heartache and find out what he ordained. Yeah. Because watch this. Whatever he's ordained for your life is a whole lot better than what you came up with. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of what? Peace. Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Not of evil. To give you an expected end. Are y'all seeing this? So when I die to self, when I say, Lord, I want thy will to be done. Lord, train me about your will. God, my issues, I'm putting them on the back burner. God, I got issues. I got stuff I won't think. I got things I won't change. I got stuff I want to happen in my life. But God, that's not my focus. My focus is what you want, what your will is. Right? It's a setup. It's a setup. Because when you focus on what he wills, then it puts him in a position to focus on what you will. Are y'all seeing this? See, some people say they trust God. But do you really trust God? Because if you trust God, you'll stop focusing on your issue. Are you seeing this? If you trusting God simply means, God, I'm not focused on my issues or what I got going on. I'm focusing on what you want. I'm trusting. Because the Bible says God is faithful. God is full of his own word. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Right? So if I turn my will over to him, God, I'm in a situation. Or I'm dealing with this person. God, I want to make a decision as if you were standing here. I don't care how crazy I look, God. I don't care if it embarrasses me. God, I don't care if I got to take the low seat on this one. I want to make the decision that you want me to make in this position. I want your will to be done. Are y'all seeing this? That can only happen when you're constantly spending time with God. Now watch this. Not constantly spending time with God trying to get what you want. Not trying to spend time with God just so you can try to get your prayers answered. But you're spending time with God. God, I want to know what's on your mind. God, I want to know what you're thinking. God, I want to know what you're thinking about this. What you thinking about that? How you see this? God, tell me your thoughts on this. God, what would you do if you was in this situation? God, how would you handle this? God, what's your outcome in this? God, what have you planned for this? God, what do you have predetermined? God, what have you predetermined for this situation? Oh, here's the beautiful thing. Even if you made a decision that caused you to get in this jam, you can still go to God and say, God, how would you handle this? How would you handle this, God? Now mind you, I made the decision to get myself in this jam. But I'm smart enough to turn around and say, God, look, I know I made a decision, God. God, forgive me. I understand. God, what's your will in this situation? Go to Romans 8. I'm going to close here. Romans 8. Romans 8 and 28. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together. If you look up the word together in the Greek, it's going to be synergeo. Synergeo simply means everything, bad and good.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow. Synergeo means everything. Nothing is left out. Nothing left out. Together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Watch this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also made successful. That's what glorified means, made successful. Verse 31, what shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, watch this now. If God be for us, who can be against us? Even if you turn on yourself. And then you turn back to God and say, God, oops, I did this. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
That's good.
How are we going to fix this? God will take that situation, all things, and cause it to work together for your good. What kind of God are we serving? Are you seeing this? So watch this. Our will plays in all that. So if I'm spending time with God and my mind is being reconditioned for God, my will is being trained that the will of God flows through my mind, that the will of God becomes my will. It becomes my will. That even, watch this, even if I make a mistake, I can turn back around to God and God will still pick up where he left off. That's what it means to be redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what it means to be redeemed from the curse of the law. So watch this. If my heart is right, your heart meaning your soul and your spirit, if my heart is right, turn toward God, even if I make a mistake and sin, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, which means now I can be shielded from the consequences.
Yes, sir.
See, there are people who are trying to be shielded from the consequences without their hearts being turned toward God. Are you seeing this? They born again. It's just their heart not turned toward him. Because if your heart turned toward him, whatever he told you not to do, you wouldn't be doing it on purpose. You wouldn't be making those decisions to try to do it. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? So your will, I'm closing here, your will is the most powerful aspect of the soul. But if you don't allow God to access your will. See, we're going to get to it next week. We start talking about the two most powerful words that the will responds to. Yes and no. Yes and no. You ain't got to give your will no explanation. Just no, we ain't doing this. Yes, we are. And your will going to execute it. Now, what if you train yourself to hear the voice of God and it's always yes? To hear the voice of the devil and it's always no. You know you can train yourself to hear the voice of the devil, right? Mm-hmm. You better.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You better. You better recognize this is God talking to me or is the devil talking to me?
Right. Yes,
you better. We always focus on, I want to make sure I hear the voice. You better know when the devil's talking.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So, God always gets a yes. Satan always gets a no. Oh yeah, let me tell you something. Satan will come to you in a big hat they wear on Sunday morning with their church dress on with a prophecy. Oh yeah, you got to be able to say no ma'am. No sir. That is not from God. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
You better be, because see, with people who love God, Satan ain't coming recognizable.
That's right.
So you baby, you need to be able to recognize, is this God talking to me or is this Satan talking to me? Am I making sense? Y'all have a good night.